Amen. You may be seated this morning. If you have your Bibles or your phone apps or whatever you use, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Peter this morning, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about this morning a time to testify, a time to tell others. And the reason we're talking about that is we're coming up really, really quickly. Can you believe it's already October the 10th? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Listen, we're coming up really, really quickly when we relaunch or we re-kick off our children and our youth ministries. And I hope and pray that you've been praying for that time and excited about that time and looking at what God's going to do. I can tell you, God's already at work. Wednesday night, we were sitting down here in the fellowship hall, and we had begun training. Training was Wednesday night, this Wednesday night as well. We've been getting that training process, and we were sitting there, and long and behold, here walks in about 5-10 kids. So they're ready. They're hungry, okay? So Ray had the honor Wednesday night to take a card in his pickup truck and take a bunch of kids to Dairy Queen. And so thank you for Ray for doing that right on the spot. That's wonderful. But this morning, talking about a time to tell others. What a privilege it is that we can tell others. Amen? Amen. Do we look at it that way, church? Think about that for a second to yourself. Do we really think of the privilege that we have to be able to tell others about a saving grace? Again, grace, word translated we did on Wednesday night, grace, undeserved love, that we get to share with people around us. Is it really something that has an impact upon us that we desire to do it so very much that we look forward to it? I mean, is it one of those things you get up in the morning and go, you know what? I may very well get to tell somebody about Jesus today. Now, think about that for a second. We think about a lot of other things, don't we? Boy, we do, don't we? We've got our list, and I'm not saying that's bad, but we have our calendars full, and we're busy, and we have all these things to do. But in the fact of the matter is that we really get up with this anticipation that we have the privilege to share God's love with somebody else. And that's the reason this morning we're looking at a time to testify, a time to tell others, a time to share the greatest gift we have in this room. Amen? Does anybody in the room have a gift greater than God's love? No, I don't think so. No, we don't have that. We'll never have that, okay? So we have this love and we have this gift that we can share. And one of my favorite passages here is it comes in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. And looking here at these verses, look at verses 13 and 14 and 15 this morning. And we're going to walk through four things together, okay? And it says, who is going to harm you? Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? What's it talking about there? The good that we can do, I know I'm supposed to be reading it, right? The good that we can do is the fact that we get to share something with people that are in desperate need of hope, right? Desperate need of peace and searching for those answers. And so it says, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Now, if you were ever told when you came to this faith that your life was going to get rosy and your life was going to be smooth, they misinformed you. Nothing about our Christian walk is easy, amen? It's the road less traveled for sure. You are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Fear is a liar, amen? Do not be frightened. Verse 15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always, not sometimes, always be prepared to give an answer or an account to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So this morning in these verses, looking at four things here as we approach working with our children and youth, and as we approach life just in our community every day. And this really should be something that's not new to us, but it should be a challenge to us this morning to wake up and start doing things that gives us the privilege to share that gift with someone. You know, sometimes I think maybe it'd be easier if we just took out with us a bunch of little wrap boxes. Would that help y'all? You understand where I'm going with this? Take a bunch of little gift wrap boxes with you everywhere you go. That way, maybe that could break the ice. You can say, here, I'm going to give you a present. And then you can tell them what's actually in it, which is your words and the wisdom and the love of Jesus. Maybe that'd help you do that. Should I do that for y'all? Wrap you a bunch of little boxes up? Well, I guess not. Okay, anyway. But it may help me sometimes. But looking at this scripture, we see so many good things that jump out at us. And the first one, we just sung about it, okay? The first one is the courage factor. And we just sung that song. If you did not know that song we just sung, did you at least read the words? I pray you did. It simply said that fear is a liar. Amen? Do we not tell ourselves, do we not put in our minds and our hearts that we cannot do something or we cannot serve in a certain way or we cannot be what God has positioned us and called us to be? Because why? Because we're fearful of what others may think, right? Yet we just sing this morning, we sing a song, fear is a liar. Now it says in the scripture this morning, now let's go back to it. It says we are blessed in suffering. Now, that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? All right, now come on, guys. I promise. I told Kathy the Sunday school class this morning, I was going to do 20 minutes today. I was going to rock it out. And I can already see it's not going to happen, so just bear with me, okay? But look at this. We suffer, and it's a blessing, and we hear that, and we think to ourselves, oh, my goodness, so that doesn't sound fun. That doesn't sound good. But it says if we're doing good, if we're doing what we've been called and given the privilege to do, then that suffering becomes joyful. That suffering becomes okay. And, yes, that sounds strange to the world, amen, right? But it becomes joyful because we know what we're sharing. We understand the good news that's there. We understand that fear and failure can never control us. Amen? I mean, there's no way that that can happen. And so I wrote some things down here. Do not fear rejection. Why should we not fear rejection, church? Because Jesus has accepted us right where we are. Isn't that wonderful news this morning? We have no worries of fearing rejection because you say, well, I just get so nervous they may not like me. Okay. I mean, I've got the King of Kings loves me. I mean, that's better than anything in the world. He accepts me for who I am. He accepts me. My favorite verse, Romans 5:8, yet when I was still a sinner, yet when I was still in darkness and living in that sin, he still saved me. He died for me. Jesus accepts me. So do not fear rejection. Listen, do not fear hurt. You ever been in pain? Time or two? Do not fear pain. Do not fear hurt. You know why? Because we serve the great physician. Amen? Do you think Jesus can heal you? Ooh, quiet crowd tonight. This morning, tonight, well, I'm off, aren't I? Oh, now, the great physician. Yeah, we're going to have some hurt. We're going to have physical hurt. We're going to have emotional hurt. We're going to have bridges that get burned and things that happen to us in our walk with Christ. But you know what? It's okay. We don't have to fear those things because he's the great physician. He can heal all pain. He can heal all situations. Amen. There's no reason to fear that in those times. And the last one and the important one is this, is we have no need to fear death. Amen. Isn't it sad that we live in a world where people literally fear death? You remember those days before you came to Christ? Wouldn't that be scary? To fear death. Why you say, well, why shouldn't I fear death? Well, if you know Christ, what have you been given? Eternal life with him. We don't fear death because we don't know death. Amen? So these fears, they become liars, and they tear our courage down, and they say you're no good and you're not good enough and you're going to lose this or you're going to do that. And we give in to those fears. And you know who loses out? God. God says this morning, listen, have courage. Tell others and have courage. And yes, there are going to be some hiccups, and there's going to be some hard times, and there are going to be those situations. I've heard this throughout my ministry. Oh, but preacher, I have told them, and I have told them, and I have told them, and I have told them. You've ever been there? And it's so discouraging, and it just brings me down. And here's what I say to you. Tell them again. You know why? Because you're taking the seed, and you're doing what with it? You're planting it. For them to know. If we could just plant those seeds, think what may happen 5 or 10 or outside of our lifetimes. Amen? What God can do. So we have to have that courage factor. We have to be brave and bold to do those things. The second thing that we see here, it says what? Always be prepared, right? Are we always prepared? Are you always prepared for everything in life? Really? I'm looking down here at R.L. I thought R.L. would be, you know, he probably has a list in the truck, a list at the house, and then he loses the list. And no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, the preparation factor. Knowing that we're prepared. Knowing that we're ready. Knowing that anytime anything comes up, we can answer. Do you realize there's a world around us seeking hope? Maybe that's a hard question to answer. But do you not realize there's a world around us even today that is in desperate need of some answers? You say, oh, no, people here aren't searching. Really? You say people in Kahoma, Texas aren't searching. Here's what I dare you to do. Some of y'all, it's real easy because you live real close. Go out there in that park. There's adults with kids and there's kids. And spend some time what the Bible tells us to do in that park. And I'll tell you right now, there are people needing answers. There are people searching for hope. There are people hurting. And all it takes is a simple conversation. A simple hello. A simple, hey, that's my kid. Where's yours at? It's all it takes. But we have to be prepared to give that answer. How do we prepare ourselves? It's so elementary, and yet we struggle with it so much. Amen? You got to read the Word, right? We talked about it this morning in Sunday school, and the young adult Sunday school. We're not doing the Sunday school book. We're doing another book right now. And the title was Why Small Groups Matter So Very Much. Small groups being Sunday school, life groups, those kind of groups. Why in the world do they matter so much? Is because they prepare us for these kind of situations. They give us strength in our intimacy, in our small group, our little church within the big church, so that when somebody approaches or comes to us, we can give an account and an answer for the hope that we have. We don't have to stutter over our words or refer them to someone else. We have to be prepared. Another way that we prepare ourselves is by what we're doing right now. Amen. Worship. Listen, if your worship has become routine, habitual, get on your knees. If your worship has become just a thing of tradition or something that, hey, this is what I do at Sunday at 11 because that's just what I do. My spouse is going. My grandma did it for years. If that's worship to you, there needs to be an attitude change. Worship is a place that prepares us for the opportunity to go out here to give those accounts and those answers. That's the reason we worship. We worship to give Him praise. We worship to have that audience of one. And why do we do that? Because who challenges us in worship? He does. He challenges us to do the things that we should already be doing. Take that time. Another thing, and yes, I did it in Sunday school too, and they're going to get tired of hearing this, but you know what? You know how we prepare ourselves for giving an account for what's going to happen around us? We take part in what we're doing here at First Baptist. We take part in growing our relationship with Christ. Amen? Look at me right now, and I'll end it right here if I need to, but if your relationship with Christ is stale, I will say it every single week. If it is stale, if it is not changing, if you read the Bible during the week and it becomes just like reading another book, something has to change. You hear me? It has to be growing. You say, Brother Mark, I've been a believer longer than you've been alive. It doesn't matter if it's not growing. Do you hear me? Doesn't matter. It has to be growing. It has to be changing and being challenged. The second thing, you better have a relationship with the community around you. We probably had, 10 members at the football game Friday night. Something like that. Coach, help me out, somewhere in there. It's going to be great when we have 30 there. It don't matter. Yeah, it does matter. People seeing us loving on the things that they love, and we do it with a different kind of love. It matters. A relationship with that community, giving an account. And then a relationship with one another. Amen? You know, it said in our thing, I'll share this just for the others in the room. It said, talking about small groups and why they matter so much, Sunday school and some of these groups. It did a 5-year study, 500 churches, okay? Get this, okay? People that are involved with those kind of groups, the folks that were here this morning for Sunday school, those folks that are involved in that kind of setting in church, 5 years into the study, were still active in their churches. Members that only showed up for worship were only 16% likely to still be in church 5 years later. Small groups and those intimacy and those times together matter, and they prepare us to be able to give an account out here. The next one here is the reason factor. Why in the world do we share? Why in the world do we prepare ourselves to tell little kids and youth and other adults about Jesus? Why do we do it? Anybody have any idea? I'm going to make this participation time. Anybody have any idea why we do it? Called to do it. That's one. What's another? What's a significant? What's a deep, just like, oh my goodness, that's we've got to do it because of that. Come again? Train up a child, yes. So they go to heaven. Life and death, right?
Those kids are seeking out something.
Life and death. They're seeking out something. Seek out God. The reason factor that I have written down here is simply this. If we're not giving an account of the hope that we hold, the gift that we've been so freely given, have you been freely given the gift of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you have been. Everybody in the room has received that gift. We have the gift of life. So if we're not sharing the gift of life, what are we giving people? Death sentence. We're telling them it's okay that you don't know about the gift that Jesus so bravely and so courageously and so givingly died for you and me. And we're keeping it to ourselves. Okay, let's put it in our perspective, okay? Let's all the way down here, okay? Think about your favorite dessert. You got it? Coach is drooling already. Think about your favorite dessert. What's some of y'all's favorite desserts? Banana pudding. Oh, come on now, guys. I know y'all can call those out. What? Cheesecake. Okay, getting specific. All right. Think about those desserts, okay? I really like a good peanut butter pie. Think about those desserts. It's like taking that dessert and having somebody with you that really, really likes it and really would love a piece of it, but you know what you do? Get the picture? That's the same thing we do with Jesus. I have this wonderful gift. I know the end. I know the outcome. It's so sweet. It's so good. It's so wonderful. I don't want to share it with anybody. It's mine. We do the same thing. And Jesus says, no. No, this is life and death. Our only hope is in Jesus. Do we believe that? Do we believe these three words, only Jesus saves? Do you believe that? We better. Allah's not going to save you. I said it. Joseph Smith is not going to save you no matter how many books he writes. You hear me? Only Jesus saves. That's it. And yet we hold that gift, and it's life and death. Now listen, we're there to plant the seeds, amen. We cannot save anybody, amen. But we are the vessels and we're the mouthpiece that shares the good news. We're the ones that take the seeds that God gives us and plants them in the hearts and the minds of the people and the children around us. And through that, God willingly, they will come to that. Here's the last one this morning. I'm doing great on time. And this is so important, the respect factor. The respect factor. It says in Scripture there, it says to do it with what? Gentleness and respect. What does that mean? To do it with love, right? Now, I talked with someone very recently. Not even in the park, in my own yard. And that was one of the things they said to me. I struggle with people in the church. Why? Well, they argue a lot, but they're always so pushy about what they're wanting me to do. And yet Scripture tells us that, yes, it is our calling and our responsibility and our privilege to share this good news, amen. But how we do it matters. Do you like when a salesman shows up at your door?
No.
Let me talk directly to them for a minute. I'm just kidding. No, you don't, do you? Hey, I've got the best vacuum cleaner you've ever seen. It will suck your carpet right off the floor. Yeah, you know, you ever? It's like, that's what I want to have happen. Come on in. You get annoyed with it, and sometimes I think we as Christians, we take that same approach. And just like folks get turned off by a vacuum cleaner, they get turned off to Jesus because we're just so forceful. We can be so pushy about it. Yes, only Jesus saves. And yes, it is our privilege. But what the privilege is that we have and what we're about to have on Wednesday night starting in November, and I'm excited about it, and you should be too, and I hope you are, is the fact that we had the privilege to take those seeds, and I nearly got a big old bucket of seeds this morning. Made you take some out in your pocket so you can fill them all week. But take those seeds and insert them into the minds of these children and these youth. Yes, we can insert them with our words, but as they come to our church, as they come into our buildings, you know how else we insert them? By our actions. We act out what we say we claim, amen? It's a big responsibility. But it says in Scripture to do it with a gentleness and a respect. Why do you do it? Because guys, listen, it's not our love that we're sharing, is it? No. It's Christ's love. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that gave it all. So we're sharing His love. And I would think after reading Scripture from front to back, you can't see anything in the gospel otherwise than Jesus would only share His love with gentleness and respect, right? Read the stories in the Gospels. Read the parables. Read those stories and you see. I can't help but think of the woman at the well, right? People were looking down on her because she was a prostitute, right? Did Jesus go up to her and say, hey, you prostitute? No. He didn't act like the people around him. He looked at her and he saw her needs. He looked at her heart. It says in Samuel that when we look at people, where are we supposed to look? At their hearts, not this. Thank goodness, amen. What if the world looked at us on the outside? We'd all be in trouble, amen. Except for Kathy. I'm just kidding, okay. She's like, just stop it. To do it with love and to do it with gentleness and to do it with respect. When the kids, Kathy takes the kids to school, when we take them, when I take them to Shaw sometimes, and they're in Arkansas, one of the last things I'd always say to them is, treat others the way you want to be treated. A good rule to live by, is it not? How would you want to be treated on such an important subject? Do you want to be treated with gentleness and respect and love? Or do you want somebody to come up to you with their Bible? Start trying to get it in you like that. I think all of us would want the first choice, amen? So God gives us the privilege, He gives us the honor to do this, to testify, to share. I have something great. I have hope. I have Jesus. Can I at least tell you about it? Say, Brother Mark, why are you harping on this subject so much? Because as I look around our community, as a pastor, as I look at numbers in our churches, in our communities of Howard County, there is a great need for people to hear good news. A great need. A tremendous need. A need where it says in Scripture, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are what? Few. God still got us, amen? This morning, if that has not been your heart, if that's not what you're doing, I pray that if you need to pray with me, I'd love to pray with you. If you need to come up here to this altar and say, God, I need you to help me with this. I need to be shown some of that gentleness, and I need to be given those words of respect. God, I need you to help me with that. God, maybe this is not even on my mind or in my heart. I just don't even think about it because I'm so busy. God, today I'll come to this altar and say, God, put it on my heart. Make it a priority again. God, I desire to do that. But it starts with each one of us, amen? Listen, you say, no, God doesn't ever do that to me. Listen, if you ever leave your house, look at me. If you ever leave your house, do you ever leave your house? Okay. Yes, all right. Guess what? God gives you opportunities. That simple. It's that simple. There's nothing theologically deep about it. Nothing that you have to take 47 hours in a class to figure it out. If you leave your house, God has given you opportunities to take those seeds and to plant them. But if your hearts are not right or they're not where they need to be or you just don't care, make today that first step. Say, Brother, why are you always talking about coming to the altar? Well, that's where we start. Yeah, you could stand in that pew and pray, but I think it has more significance if you would come get on your face and your knees. Why? Because you're humbling yourself before Him, and you're taking that first step in a complete scene of humility saying, God, I need to do it. So this morning, I'm going to pray. The guys in the back are about to crank some instrumental music. We're not going to have anybody on stage. Okay, we're not going to do an a cappella song this week. They're going to have some music playing. I'm going to ask you to stand with me here in just a moment. And we're going to have just a few moments together. And if that is not your heart's desire this morning, I pray as your pastor that before you walk out of these glass doors today, your heart's desire is to say, you know what? It's time for me to testify. It's time for me to tell others. It's time for me to tell that person I've told 100 times to maybe whisper some more truth to them again. We plant the seeds, we cultivate the seeds, and guess what? God will grow them. Amen? So let's start planting those seeds. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to pray. Guys, you start the music.